Let's get to our guest. Joining us here in the New York studio is Ben Emmons. He is principal, also senior portfolio strategist at New Edge Wealth. It's always a pleasure. Happy New Year. Thanks for being with us. One of the things that when I looked at the market today, the bond market seemed to be sending one message. Okay, I understand the equity market faltered a bit, but when you look at that GDP Now data coming out of the Atlanta Fed, Q4, a revision upward to 3.91%. That's a stunning number. How can the bond market not reconcile itself with the possibility that growth is going to be so strong in Q4? Or maybe the bond market is saying, that's a given, we're looking at the future now and things are going to be much, much weaker in 2023.
Yeah, there's a lot of good things in there that you're saying, Doc. And by the way, Kathleen, Doc, Happy New Year. It's great to be here. The message from the bond market currently is about there is a slowdown happening in the economy, but we're not at a recession yet. And I think the U-curve inversion that you're looking at every day is really the Fed moving its rate to such a high level that we haven't seen yet from the last 40 years, right? That's that restrictive policy. That's more what the U-curve is signaling than that there is an imminent recession or recession at the moment. And that's what that GDP Now number really tells us. I mean, the spending component at PCE, that's now at 2.48%. You know, that is actually at least a 0.5% to 1% higher on average from pre-pandemic. So there's still a lot of the stimulus that we have put into the system since March of 2020 that's in that number. Then, of course, people have made more income and more people find jobs, as we know. So I think the bond market is simply saying this is an economy on its track to a slowdown, but not in major recession just yet. Otherwise, the yield on the 10-year would be far lower than where we are now.
Well, what I'm thinking of is what this means for the Fed, because they could do as few as, like, maybe they do a 50 and a 25 basis point hike. But when you look at where the economy is and you look at where wages still are, wow, you say maybe they should do a 75 and then see if they can downshift to 50. I mean, and there are dots, and radio listeners, you know, that's the Fed's plot for what interest rates are going to be this year. The median for over the first of the year is, what, 5.0, 5.1%, 5.2. But there is at least one dot that's up at 5.6. And I wonder if those higher dots are going to be right.
Yeah, and I think that is, by the way, Jim Bullard, who you've often interviewed, because he put out that forecast of his funds rate of 5 to 7%, exactly to your points of we need much higher rates to be sure that we're going to get 2% inflation in the next few years. Now, that seems like a daunting task, and the bond market is maybe saying that you cannot get this far. But to your point, Kathleen, we have rising wages. We have inflation that's far stickier, far higher than we have experienced over the last three decades. There is this risk that if you preemptively go to neutral or even ease, that you will repeat what happened in the mid-70s, and the economy just comes right back and produces a lot more inflation, and you have to come back with a lot more. So to Jim's point, that point that's on the dot plot, it's not something that's inconceivable that the Fed may get to that point if this inflation stays too sticky.
We've seen a lot of volatility in the foreign exchange, as you know, and the rate of change in the weakness of the dollar over the last, let's say, 6 weeks, 8 weeks has been pretty remarkable. But we had a rally in the greenback today, and I'm wondering what you make of that in the face of weaker treasuries in yield terms. We're seeing a rally in the dollar. I mean, I'm a little confused here. If we're talking about economic weakness and people are seeing dollar strength, square that circle.
Yeah, although it has been a quite significant decline since September, right? That we have a depreciation of the dollar that has happened. Again, I think too the foreign exchange market got on the same story as the bond market. The Fed cannot go as far as what the dot plot is implying. The real yields have to probably decline again, and therefore weaker dollar. Plus, that in Europe and in Japan, the central banks really have to catch up to where the Fed is, and we've seen this playing out. So I think today, Doug, this was sort of a hangover from the new year, right? The yield decline that you saw in the 10-year, basically it fell back to the level from right before the Christmas into the New Year holiday. It's almost like that between the December 26th and December 30th, the yield went from 375 to 390. Nobody was trading, so it just went there. It was go back to 375, so I think that did a little bit of pop in the dollar. But if I look at the dollar index, it's sort of hanging here at 104.5. And there's still a lot of like more pressure on the dollar, I think, from other currencies where central banks have to continue to tighten to a level where the Fed is or closer to.
So let's look at some of these other central banks, because the Bank of Japan is going to be making a decision on January 20th, if I'm not mistaken. That's just a couple of weeks away. And because the bond purchases, the BOJ has been forced to do bond purchases to keep that new higher yield on the ceiling on the 10-year JGB at 0.5. That's a reason for them to maybe do another tweak. And for sure, an easy change for them to make is to boost their 2023 inflation forecast to 2% or higher from 1.6, their last forecast in October. That's going to be taken as a signal of tightening. Globally, bond markets, investors, what does that mean?
I think it's a significant shift, Kathleen, because if we had this yield curve control policy in place since August of 2016, it has for sure pressured treasury yields lower than it may otherwise have been. And we've had an economy since 2016 that's been on a strengthening path up until the pandemic. So the money that's come out of Japan investing into treasury bonds or our corporate bonds or other assets, to an extent now gets reversed because of this yield curve control policy becoming more flexible, wider band, and eventually, I think, what Garuda has done, lay out the path for his successor to end it, eventually not have yield curve control and bring the policy rate to at least to zero or positive. And to your point, like the inflation in Japan has clearly turned. Just like here and just like everywhere else, it's a global pandemic. Therefore, Japan is no longer in this unique, isolated situation of this protracted deflation. Mm-hmm. As much as people may still have some expectation of that, that too, by the way, has changed. I looked at surveys and inflation expectations in Japan have shifted. So Japan has to go to a tighter policy, which means positive rates and no yield curve control, which means that the Japanese banks and the Japanese life insurance and pension funds are likely to reinvest their maturing treasuries into Japanese bonds.
I'm going to give you a deadline on this next answer here. You got 45 seconds to weave in the China story with the global macro. How does China figure into all of this?
So it's in our view, a big macro event in 2023. And we do have to think about the China reopening in the context of the U.S. reopening. I mean, this is the second largest economy in the world, so it's undoubtedly going to have an impact on commodities, on investment, on spending, on basically on global trade. And it could be that as much as there's a expected recession out there now, and the expectations are very high for recessions everywhere, that the China reopening may counterweight that and not only change those expectations, but actually impact the actual recession that takes place, you know, make recessions more shallow or not even happen, not even land, as Jim Yardini said the other day.
Ben, it's always a pleasure. Yeah. Thanks for being with us in studio. Ben Emmons from New Edge Wealth joining here on Daybreak Asia.